The issue of how to talk about suicide is also one that's shared by the media. Joining us now on the phone is Lois Henry, columnist with the Bakersfield Californian, who recently wrote about this very issue. Lois, welcome.
Hey, Joe. How are you?
Doing very well about this very serious topic today. Bakersfield has recently been rocked by two very high-profiled suicides, Jay Bornstein, local LGBT activist, and newly elected city council member Jeff Tack, both recently took their lives. How do you think the Californian and other media should be covering these issues?
Well, in the case of both of those particular incidents that you talk about, there was no way that we couldn't cover them. You know, I mean, you're talking about Jeff Tack, who was very, very well known in the community, aside from being elected to city council. In fact, it was surprising he hadn't been elected to public office on that level before, because he'd been so involved in so many aspects of the community. Everybody knew that guy. You know, and he committed suicide the day after his first meeting. I mean, it's just so amazing. You know, you can't not say something about that. And then the Jay Bornstein situation, you know, it's just a tragic situation. She left home, and immediately the family knew that something was wrong when she didn't come home right away, because she hadn't taken, you know, her money and her jacket and her phone charger and all that kind of stuff. So they launched a very public search for her in a public park. You know, so there's just no way that we could not cover it. And I don't know. I've always kind of waffled back and forth on these things, you know, since I've been in the news business, and I'm sure since you started in the news business, the word was always, you know, we don't cover suicide. I mean, unless someone jumps off of a bridge into traffic and you can't help but cover it, or it's a super very well-known person like Jeff Tack, you just don't cover suicides, especially of teenagers, because the idea I was always told by my, you know, editors way back in the day was you didn't want to encourage copycat suicides. But as your piece just, or Jeffrey Huss's piece just sort of pointed out, the more you talk about it, the more people, you know, actually tend to seek help. So I kind of think maybe we've gone about this in a backwards way. Maybe we in the media have been complicit in sort of creating the stigma. You know, if we just constantly always, you know, say suicide, the S word, well, you know, it creates this sort of ugly mystique around it, maybe, that makes it even more difficult for people who are in pain to have the courage to seek help. I don't know what the answers are. Those are sort of some of my questions. I didn't really come to an absolute conclusion in my column, other than to say that in Jay Bornstein's case, we absolutely had to cover it. And, you know, we don't know why she took her own life. We don't. It could have been, you know, any number of reasons, but the fact that she was very involved in the LGBT community, she was very involved in speaking out against sexual assault and sort of calling authority on the carpet if they called sexual touching anything other than sexual assault. She was very, you know, sort of involved in that. So we can maybe surmise that her ending her own life had something to do with not feeling accepted and feeling isolated because of those issues. But we don't really know. But either way, you know, it's something that we do need to talk about. You know, because talking about it, I'm just, you know, me, I'm a firm believer in more information is always better for the public than less.
What was the response from readers, both to your column and the Californian's coverage?
It was a mixed bag. I'd say, interestingly, I had more positive reaction, but there was still a lot of negative reaction. And some of our letters to the editor after Steve Mayer wrote about the funeral and covered some of the questions that were being asked at the funeral about community responsibility and all that kind of stuff, we got a sort of just a slug of really negative letters. You know, it's not up to me to accept their gender identity. You know, don't ask me to change my views because they want to be, you know, different. It's not up to me. How dare you wag your finger at me? And then we got a lot of positive response from people saying, yes, we need to talk about this. Because in my column, I pointed out that if Jay Bornstein wanted to wear a dress and grow her hair long and call herself she, rather than whatever she, you know, bits she was born with, okay, it doesn't really hurt me. And I don't have a problem accepting her for who she wants. I don't have a problem accepting people in general for who they want to be accepted as. You know, it seems to me like we want to put so many more silos around people than we really should. And we accept people in other realms, you know, not that it's a direct correlation, but if someone wants to be called Latino or Chicano or Hispanic or just American, that's kind of their right to determine who they want to be, right? I mean, I'm not in charge of them, and I'm certainly not going to try and be in charge of them. I'm barely in charge of myself. So that was kind of one of the points that I made in the column. And I got some emails, you know, back and forth. Mostly I got positive emails. And then, of course, a lot of people emailed me and said, you know, basically, how dare you invade this family's privacy at this horrible time of tragedy and pain. And interestingly enough, Jay's sisters emailed me saying, thank you for bringing this out and being sensitive toward it and, you know, not second guessing and not condemning. So it's, you're never going to please everyone on this subject because it is so intensely personal and so painful. And I don't know about you, Joe, but I've had a very good friend who committed suicide and it was 15 years ago, and it still pains me to think about it and worry about what I could have done or what I couldn't have done, or did I reach out or did I not reach out enough, you know, or it's suicide is just, it leaves everyone left just questioning and second guessing their relationship with that person. It's just extremely painful.
When it comes to Jay Bornstein's suicide, the one that immediately came to mind when I heard the news was the case back in 2010 of 13-year-old Seth Walsh, who took his life in Tehachapi. Do you see parallels there? And has the community response, has anything changed in the interim in those 6 years?
I'd like to think something had changed. I mean, you have to remember that Jay Bornstein was an adult, 19, not, you know, fully formed, if you ask me. Most 19-year-olds aren't, but was an adult attending college, was very out, wore her hair long and wore dresses and, you know, was very sort of seeming to be in command of her own feelings and destiny, whereas Seth was 13 and still in school and being subjected to horrendous bullying. And we don't know that that was the case with Jay Bornstein. We haven't determined that at all. So there's a little bit of difference. And, you know, and Seth was really not in charge of himself. I mean, he was still a minor. And that district up there, as was determined by studies later, just had really horrendous bullying and didn't have a very good system for dealing with bullying. And hopefully that's changed in the intervening years, especially for that community. But, you know, obviously bullying still goes on. You can't legislate everyone's behavior. I think that, you know, because people just were just torn apart by this, you know, thought of this little boy being so horribly bullied that he would hang himself in his tree in his backyard. I think a lot of people sort of talked about things a little bit more, and it was you know, brought out into the open, not just suicide, but the idea of sexual identity and sexual preferences, and, you know, that it's not such a horrible thing that you want people to kill themselves over. So maybe, you know, relax your conversation about it. I think that that was kind of brought out. But, you know, we always still have ways to go. And again, we don't know why Jay Bornstein killed herself. We don't. And maybe that she left a note for the family. If the family's not sharing, it's that, you know, that's their prerogative. We know why Seth Walsh killed himself, but we don't know exactly why Jay Bornstein killed herself.
Moving on to the other case with Jeff Tack, do we know any more about that? So many people are asking questions. How could this happen a day after that first council meeting when Karen Goh took the oath and Jeff was there and everyone? I was watching it online on the live stream. What do we know at this point?
Well, we learned a little bit at the funeral. Monsignor Craig Harrison had talked about the fact that he was taking Ambien. He was having some sleeping problems, and he was taking Ambien. And he, according to Monsignor Harrison, it changed his personality. And so that may be something that was going on. I don't know if he had depression issues, and that's why he was having sleeping problems. But Monsignor Craig did say that he was taking that sleeping aid and that it really changed his behavior and his attitude and his personality, because he was just always a really, you know, up and happy-go-lucky kind of character, as far as I know. I mean, I didn't know him well. I'd met him a couple times, like everyone in town seems to have met him. So, you know, that could be it. We don't know whether he was having, you know, personal problems or marital issues or whatnot. And again, we may never know. I don't know. I don't know if he left a note either. But yeah, it is just so, it was just shocking. I remember when I was out to lunch with a bunch of people, some sources, and I got, you know, a text on my phone And I sort of jumped up and went, oh, my God, Jeff Tack killed himself. Everybody freaks out. Everybody at the table knew him, you know. So
certainly,
who knows?
Certainly a very shocking story. Do we know what is going to happen as far as filling his seat? I understand there's a couple of different procedures. People are calling for a special election, I understand.
Right. The constituents have, several of them have formed a little group, and they're getting signatures on a petition, because you have to have so many signatures on a petition to go forward with a special election. But I think that's going to happen either way, because the council was all in favor of doing a special election as well. So I'm pretty sure that's probably going to be the way it goes. Now, who runs? You know, Harold Hance and I can't remember his first name, Nance, ran against Jeff. It was a three-way run for the seat initially. So I don't know whether those two guys will resurrect their campaigns or how it'll play out. I mean, it's just so sad, because Harold Hansen was so congratulatory, you know, to Jeff Tack, because Jeff was such a nice guy and such a likable guy that you just, you know, even though Hansen lost to him, he just was like, oh, this is great, and he's going to take care of the ward so well. And, you know, it's like such a positive transition, you know, and we all are kind of just shaking our heads wondering what the heck is going on around here, you know, and what was happening in poor Jeff Tack's life. Everyone's really quite sad about it, even, you know, even though he's a council member and you think that's kind of a staid kind of a thing, he was just involved himself in so many charities and so many community activities that it's just shocking, still shocking.
Both cases certainly leave more questions than answers, and that likely will be the case as this issue remains a big one throughout our community, not just for public figures, but for individuals as at large. Lois Henry with the Bakersfield, California, joining us today on Valley Edition. Lois, thank you so much for taking the time.
All right. Thanks, Joe.